Welcome to Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast. I'm Mike Miller. I'm your host. And today we're at the Vortex, where they are getting ready to open Oleana. Talk to a director and two actors. Apparently the only cast and crew that we have tonight.
In any night.
This is it.
Okay. All right. So Zoe Reese and Bob Jesser. And
I've only known you 30 years, Mike. It's okay.
Marty Epstein. So, guys, let's talk about Oleana a little bit. What are we dealing with?
Marty? I'll kick it off, but let you guys join in. We're dealing with a play that directly relates to this whole Me Too movement about sexual exploitation, sexual harassment, in a university setting. We've got the college professor, we've got the student, university student, and it's about misunderstood things that are said or misperceptions, things taken out of context, and it just is an escalating thing. And from there, if you want to kick some stuff in, that's the general theme, that's it. Three-act play, it just progresses into being just a student-teacher conference, into being, I'll just say more than that.
Okay, all right. So, kick it off, Professor.
What would you like to know?
what is the basic disagreement here? Marty's just aligned it with the Me Too movement.
Well, I've always wanted to do this play. I love this play. I think that to outside observers, it can be a very simplistic. A lot of people talk about it as the he said, she said play, and it's so much more than that. But I look at it as it's a play about interpretation. It's about, hey, that's Batman calling me. I'll turn that off for you.
Yes.
Bob, when you're doing an interview, turn off your electronic devices. We're taking off.
Entertain the audience a little bit that way.
Sorry, people. to me, it's a play about interpretation. It's a play about language. It's the balance of power, and you know, for me, it's the great thing about the play is the discussion you have afterwards as to, you know, whose side are you on, and. And I think it's one of Mamet's better works. And I mean, I don't want to talk too much about the specifics of it because, you know, I don't want to give anything away for people coming to see the show. But it really is about two people discussing, interpreting, and, you know, over the course of the 78 to 90 minutes, it's a little bit of a ride.
No intermission.
No intermission.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a conflict between a student who says what?
She leaves their initial meeting kind of on one note, and then you find out later returns with some complaints about how that meeting went. And yeah, without giving anything away, it's really interesting because depending on your point of view, he's right or she's right, and yeah, her just a complaint about how you behave in a university setting or how you behave when the relationship is professor and student, and if what he did is what she said happened. Is it actually what happened or is it what you said happened? Like, who gets to say what happened or what didn't? And muddy, confusing.
Yeah, and I think because I think it just clicked with me. I think the question you answered is what the play starts out that my student comes to my office looking for help because she's having trouble in my class, and that's the launch point of the play.
And the miscommunication, I guess, is what you are calling it, at least initially.
Well, she asks questions, I answer them, and then the play becomes about the interpretation of, you know, that's why I say it's a play about language. It's really about what word is used and in what context it's used. And
the intonation of how it's said. I mean, it's really all about the for me, from my perspective, it's an interpretation of language and perception.
And it does physical too. I mean, there's a whole physical interpretation. Is going like this, and I know the audience can't see it, but a professor putting their hand on a student's shoulder, later on it can be interpreted as overtly sexual. And I come out of a university environment just teaching there for 20 years, and I was always aware of that. I, like the plague, I avoided touching, especially female students, even if it would have been about as innocent as you could get, you don't do it. And in today's environment, you definitely don't do it. And this happens in the play also. So it's not just verbal communication, it's physical communications. And again, without giving away too much, because it's one of these plays, if you know where it's going, I guess you'd lose interest in some degree. But there is that. Is that a sexual exploitation by touching someone in what to the professor is about as innocent as you can get it? But it's really not what he thinks. Maybe it's what she thinks. Or is it? You know, that's where the taking things out of context really comes in.
And I think it's also, you know, it's
really the things that go on in society these days today currently is if I walk into a room and you're standing there and I don't know you well and there's a woman standing there and I don't know her well, if I walk in and I just say hi and pat you on the back, hey, how are you? And then I do it to the woman, my intention is the exact same to the both of you, but it's going to be interpreted differently because I'm a man patting a man and I'm a man patting a woman. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's an interesting discussion because to me, intention, just, you know, for Bob in general in life, intention is more important than, you know, what is said or, you know, what was the intent behind it? There was nothing meant badly. But it doesn't mean it can't be interpreted that way, and that, or that they're wrong for interpreting it that way. That's their interpretation.
Yeah. Or that that there are other things that led up to that moment. You said other things that perhaps colored the way that moment was later perceived. It wasn't an isolated incident. Bob and I have slowly become, minus the, like, exploitation, our characters.
Thank you.
I see. Well, at least during rehearsal, we know that the third-party arbiter is the director. When the play goes up, we assume that this is a real situation that you're portraying. And so, with only two characters, who is the arbiter on what was said and what was
the
meant?
The audience. Mamet has very clearly said in interviews that he did not write it with any intent of leading the audience in one direction or the other. He wanted the audience to make the decision. And some people walk out and say terrible things about the woman, that she's blah, blah, blah. And others will walk out and say terrible things about the professor. And when you think of it, they're both right, because it's all based on how they perceive or interpret what got said. Mm-hmm. So I'm not I don't think I have.
Yeah,
I'm not pushing you in either direction.
No, we're trying to play it.
And we've been constantly
discussing
the whole time, like, trying to keep it as center as possible.
Lean one way or the
other. We're neutral. You're just playing your character.
Yeah.
And someone else is doing the interpretation, not you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I think there's a Charlie Rose interview that Mamet was on, and
Great one to do it with.
Yeah.
That's what happened with him, yeah.
But this was years ago. This was actually when Oleana first came out. And he was saying that, he said, the thing about these characters is when either one of them is speaking, what they are saying is absolutely true. There is no deception. Sure. That it's absolutely true.
Right.
Okay.
You have to see it to understand
that. Well, we might as well tell the audience now that they need to see that to understand that. Mm-hmm. When did this first appear? When did Mamet?
92, he wrote it. Yeah. I believe first production was 93-ish, in that 92-93 time frame. A movie came out in 94, I believe, that he directed, Mamet directed,
mm-hmm. Right.
Which I've never seen. I've never I've seen
with
local
William
productions
Macy.
Of it. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Didn't the Vortex do Oleana Once
it.
Upon a Time? No.
Nope. I have an Excel file this long. Everything we've ever done here, Mike.
Okay, well, versus your Excel file. I think we'll take the Excel file.
So Larts did it a number of years ago, and Ray Orley stepped in about a week before they opened to play the professor, so it didn't have that same impact. It was a strange situation. I've heard that other companies in town have done it. I don't remember when it got done. Someone said Duke City did.
I've never seen it. I didn't know this show whatsoever until that very first rehearsal.
I
walked in, and that was a little cold reading.
Yes. I believe her first words were, oh boy.
Yeah. I will tell you this, Mike.
Because I've never seen it.
On behalf of these guys, these are actors' roles. These are challenging roles. They are good roles. And these guys are making the most of it. These guys are, both of them are super. They really are. They are taking, and we're still working to get to where we want to be opening night, but we can see where it's going. They are at such a high level. And the play does that. It does that to you. Kind of, if you're in character, if you're really focusing and concentrating, these guys are going to be phenomenal. It's going to be scary to some degree.
Yeah. Well, all right, so not giving away any spoilers, Mammoth puts this thing out in 92, and we're now almost 20 years beyond that, I guess. Is that right?
More than 28 years.
Yeah. So almost 30. What are the things that don't change?
The sexual exploitation, the sexual harassment. It, no matter what we say, it goes on. No matter, you know, every big news and big trials and people go to court and you think maybe it'll die down. Now it's at a level where it's not dying down. I wrote or interviewed with that it's not going to get fixed by itself. This is a cultural thing. It's not really a political thing. It's a cultural thing. And I don't see that even in our lifetime, because there's always going to be people who think they're either saying the right thing or who don't care, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be people who take things the wrong way. I shouldn't say wrong way, take it differently than the intent was. I don't want to say right or wrong, just the intent is taken differently. That's what's happening here. He may think great things of her, and she just goes away saying, he did what? He did that to me, and vice versa.
Well, and I think the themes of privilege and rights and who's deserving of what in this world and how you get the things you want, all those themes are still perfectly relevant.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because... yeah, and how long's your podcast? Because, you know, I could go for hours. the thing that's fascinating is... as long as you have two human beings, there's always going to be misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And the farther you get them away from each other, the more chance for misunderstanding. I mean, if you have identical twins, I mean, you're almost genetically the same, but you're still going to disagree on things. Well, now turn it into a strange man and a strange woman, or a African-American and a white, or somebody, you know, from Russia and somebody from Zimbabwe. It's like, I'm never going to know what it's like to be a woman. So for me to say something that's innocuous to me, that's like, oh, it was just a statement. It was not anything, you know, a woman is going to perceive that. And that specific woman is going to perceive it in her way, because we're all different and we all have history and we all have our flaws and our demons and our life experience that makes us interpret everything in a different way. And so our job is, to me as human beings, is to do our best to respect other people and understand them and try to evolve and adapt. But, you know, even husbands and wives, so you hear them say, I've lived with him for 50 years and I still don't really know him, you know.
The other thing there is, it's not solely her interpretation of what the professor says in the show. It's that the professor is blind to some of his own faults and, like, refuses to accept them. It's not completely her interpretation that is the only thing that pivots the show.
Oh, of course. This is literally going to turn into the show.
Because we just want to be clear, we've been very heavy on the she perceives this one thing. and well, it is but not. But he also he's has, and he's well, blind right. to his own faults, right. And she calls from him out on that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm speaking from my right. character's point of view.
No. And she, you know, she says things that she's absolutely right, but I disagree with because I disagree with. I mean, you know. You know, if you knew what I knew, what you knew what I knew, that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, you didn't misinterpreted me. Well, now I'm misinterpreting your misinterpretation of me, you know, and vice versa. And again, I want to be really clear that, you know, Bob is not painting, you know, Carol, who's the character in the play, as a bad person or a wrong person. I'm just saying in life,
so
you know,
Bob painting Zoe.
I mean, I
Zoe
well, no.
on the other hand.
No, not Zoe either. I mean, I don't think it's. I don't. You know, yeah. Let's just say
I'm
John. From the get go, you can tell John, who's my character, has a very certain personality trait. Mm-hmm. It's just the way he's wired. There's nothing, from his perspective, there's nothing judgmental, hostile. It's just who he is and how he walks through the world. You know. You know, I mean, I'm sure we've all met people where it's like, oh my God, that guy is so rude. Oh, no, he's really a nice guy. That's just him. And it's that kind of thing where it's like.
It reminds me of the Al Franken thing. Mm-hmm. On either side of it, they put that picture out, you know, all over social media. And lots of people said, well, it was probably as innocent as can be. And other people totally disagree just based on a picture without understanding the context. So was Franken White right or was he wrong? Who knows? It depends on who you're talking to. That's what's happening here.
Right.
We're just in a university setting. We see it's happening in Hollywood. It's happening in politics. It's probably happening, you know, in lesser locales. Well, it's happening in the Senate and Congress and all those places.
It's happening everywhere.
But universities are an area, in a sense, that's ripe for it because you are dealing with mature men, in many cases, professors, and very young women who are, they haven't been out in the world. They don't necessarily see the world the way a professor would see it. And like I said, just from a personal experience, I always made myself aware of it because I was always concerned about being misunderstood. And it's so prevalent.
One of the most shocking things I recall as a high school student was watching a math teacher pat a young lady on the back end as she was going through the classroom.
Ooh.
And he got away with it.
Oof. Yeah, to me, that's not interpretation. That's just wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong. Exactly. So
yeah.
There's a different level of what's going on here and how it's perceived. Yes.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because through history, you can always go back and, you know, play Monday morning, what do they call it, Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the things that, and again, I want to be really careful because it's not a justification that it was or an acceptance that it was right. But what was done in the 50s or in the 40s or the 30s or whenever, or the 70s, you know, you look back now and you're like, oh my God, that was so inappropriate. But at the time, you didn't know better because that's just the way society was.
Right.
So you didn't even realize you were doing anything wrong because that's just how you were taught. And I'm sure 20 years from now, we're going to look back at what's going on in 2018 and say, how did we get away with that? Oh, my Lord.
We're saying that now.
Well, yes, we are
saying that now.
On a daily basis.
How is that happening?
There's that was clearly wrong, even in, you know, 1960.
But it was accepted.
Whatever
it was. For some reason, it was accepted.
Wasn't accepted.
Well,
it was
an
got away with it.
Yeah.
Got away with it, yeah.
Yes, you're right.
That's better phrasing. There was, and so what I'm leading to here is the fine line between somebody who deliberately creates that kind of an action and those who, by some other intention, leave the impression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unknowingly. They're not aware, or they don't think they're doing anything wrong or inappropriate.
Right.
Until someone maybe points it out and they go, ooh, really? Is that what is, you know, they get called on it, right? And then they might say, oh, maybe, you know, I didn't think anything of it. Maybe you did. Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
I think we all run into that from time to time in our lives. Mm-hmm. There's a phrase that is one of my favorites. What you say is about you. What I hear is about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like
I like that.
A very important kind of picture in reference to this particular play.
That was a good one, Michael Miller. I like that one.
I practice those.
Nice.
You've read some of my Facebook posts. I practice those things. But that really is a serious point, mm-hmm. is how do you break down that so that when you have a perception of what it is you're trying to communicate, and the other has a completely different perception about what it is, in fact, they're receiving.
Right, and I think that's where that turns into a respect and a maturity and open-minded thing where, you know, I mean, Zoe and I are friends. I may say something to her innocuous, and she's like, that bothers me. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yes, it does. I'm like, okay, well, I don't think it's a big deal, but out of respect to you, I won't say it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that rather than say...
That happened to... Like, that has yet to happen?
No.
That's just an as-if example.
But that's part of being a mature, caring human being, is you may believe you're not wrong, but you have to respect other people and their wishes.
And that's... understanding that there are always two sides to a story.
Always, yeah.
Always. That what you say is not always taken as it was said, done, whatever the case may be.
What do they say? There's actually three sides, yours, mine, and the truth.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So the audience walks away with the truth?
Yeah. Well, what we hope for is that they walk out and they go to dessert and they spend the next 4 hours arguing about it. That's our goal, is that there is no clear winner.
It opens debate, discussion.
And
sure.
So what you would intend by them going to get dessert and arguing about it is
discussion.
Opening debate.
Yes. Yeah. We heard in the New York production, I read things where the London production too, people were fighting going out of the theater.
In the lobby,
Yeah, just pissed at each other.
Husbands and wives.
Yeah. Because they had different perspectives and they weren't keeping quiet about it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really mellow piece, man. It's stakes are so low.
And we have a 12-piece orchestra. No, just kidding.
The tap orchestra.
Well, one of the things that is happening right now in our society, and probably has before and maybe will again if we don't figure out the solution, is this lack of civility in terms of respecting somebody else has a different opinion.
Or recognizing where they're coming from. Like, because you have a moment, I'm looking at Bob, you have a moment in the show where my character's saying what I heard you say, which isn't what you actually said, and you, I think, suddenly realize my point of view, and your next line is, aha, sit down. And then we change the conversation. So that, like, not just getting into a debate and arguing for argument's sake, but the idea that you can recognize the other person's point of view and approach the conversation from a new angle.
Sure.
Just be willing to, work and change and recognize and realize and not just be locked into your own point of view so solidly that you can't adjust in any way, shape, or form.
And you know, to be clear, the great, again, I keep going back to, it's such a play about language, is that it's not just about you're wrong, no I'm not. It's about each character trying to make the other, like, to have the discussion of, no, this is why, this is what you need to understand. This is what I'm trying to say. No, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm trying. And so it's this conversation that just keeps evolving and flowing. And there's, you know, it's one step forward, two steps back. You know, I mean, it's really, I love it. I just love this play.
We see in the current lack of civility in discussions a lot of manipulative, devious manipulation, if you will. Is that part of this play?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. No, because if everything that you're... If Mamet said everything your character says is absolutely the truth, then right. there, then what I'm saying must be true. Well, I can't have come for any other reason than why I'm said I'm
Carol's
here.
Carol's perspective is what she said
yeah,
is
so
true.
I don't think there's any
John's
manipulation.
John's perspective is what he said is true. Neither one, I don't see trying to manipulate. They're just, they both feel they're true and sometimes don't understand why the other one doesn't believe it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to throw my two cents in.
Uh-oh.
No.
I'm kidding.
I just, because I think for me reading the play and being an audience member, I would say there, in terms of the word manipulation, there is manipulation in terms of self-survival and trying for each of them to get what they want. But it's not done in an inauthentic, lying, or vindictive way. It's done. It's like, no. Let's fix this. This is going the wrong direction. So I just, yeah.
It's not deliberate.
What is wrong with me? I have to share everything I think.
that's what she said.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
and she would know.
Oh. I may have touched the nerve there. Oleana, at the Vortex.
Yes.
Opens
August 17th.
August 17th.
Four weekends. I forget the closing date.
September 9th.
Yeah. September 9th. So there's, even though we're Friday. Starting this after you're open, you still have plenty of time
Fridays
for the audience to come and see.
Fridays and Saturdays, 7:30. Sundays at 2 o'clock.
And since this is after we open, opening night was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm congratulating.
Thank you.
Glad to hear that. No, seriously, though. How does our audience find tickets? How do they
Vortex,
get here?
VortexABQ.org. That's online. 247-8600. We don't do much online. I mean, phone reservations, but you can call in there. But primarily, we do it online. Again, VortexABQ.org.
Great, thank you. And it's David Mamet's Oleana at the Vortex, and we've been talking with Zoe Rees and Marty Epstein and Bob Jess. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.